Well, we are going to be continuing our series in 1 Timothy. We're going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 11. And the main kind of theme for this passage is Paul encouraging Timothy to be a worthy servant and to put effort into to growing to make sure that his faith will stand the test of time. And so speaking about effort, there's a story told about a lumberjack, a big lumberjack, who bought a brand new chainsaw. And when he bought this chainsaw, he was told that this chainsaw could cut 100 trees down in a day. And so he was pretty excited about this. He brings the chainsaw home, and the next day, he goes out and starts cutting down trees. He works hard, but the first day he's only able to cut down 25 trees. So the next day, he's a little disappointed. He tries even harder, but still, he's only able to cut down 33 trees. Well, the third day, he starts early, he works late, he cuts out half of his breaks, the rest he cuts in half, but still, he only cuts down 48 trees. Well, he's a little frustrated now with his purchase. So he brings it back to the store and he confronts the manager with his complaint and all of his effort and the results. And the manager's rather perplexed and he says, "Can I see your saw?" So the lumberjack brings the saw in and the manager looks it over. He flips the switch and he pulls the rope and it revs to life with a roar and the lumberjack jumps back and he says, "What's that noise?" Effort is important. Effort is important, but effort alone isn't always enough. So again, we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy 4, 6 to 11. What does it take to be a faithful servant? Let's open in prayer. Father, we ask that as we look at your word, you would open our eyes to the truth here, help us to apply it in our own lives. Lord, we want to be faithful servants of yours. I want to be a faithful servant. Help us to obey and do what you call us to do so that we will be faithful servants and that we will finish well. In Jesus' name, amen. So a little background about 1 Timothy. It was written by Paul, written to Timothy. Paul's giving Timothy advice as Timothy is kind of taking Paul's place in the church of Ephesus in giving them guidance. And so in chapter 1, Paul talks about the need for sound doctrine to stand up to false teaching. In chapters 2 and 3, he gives general advice about how the church should run, how it should operate, maybe straightening out some things that have gotten a little crooked in Ephesus. And then in chapter 3, he takes a bit of a change and he starts focusing on Timothy. And here he writes his purpose for writing this letter, which is to give Timothy guidance while Paul's away. And then last week, Rajan spoke about these people that Paul was warning Timothy that there will be people that fall away from the faith. There will be false teachings, and encouraging him to stand up for those and to recognize those. And then now we get into this, and then he's encouraging Timothy now to be a faithful servant and to grow in his faith. Now before we look at the passage, I just want to put up a couple ideas that we're going to be talking about, a couple definitions. The first one is effort. Effort means strenuous physical or mental exertion. So when we're talking about effort, we're talking about something that's strenuous and it takes exertion on our part. Another word that's going to come up in this passage is to train ourselves. And that means to form by instruction, discipline, or drill. So if I want to train my body, say to run a marathon, then I'm going to learn what I need to do, and then I'm going to be disciplined in what I eat, and I'm going to exercise, and maybe even do some drills over and over and over again. And so I'm going to form my body so it will do what I want it to do, so to train. And then this next word is godliness. Godliness is having a likeness or resemblance to God. So someone who is godly would think and act in similar ways to how God would think and act. He doesn't become God, but he becomes like him in a certain way. And we would mostly see this in our lives or other people's lives in seeing the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. I might have missed one there. So godliness, having a likeness or resembling, growing to become more like God. Now we're going to read this passage now. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, and the words will be up on the screen so you can follow along. Starting 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Paul says to Timothy, "If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed." So if you explain these things, what are these things? Well, it's all the things that Paul has already talked about in the previous verses and chapters, and specifically in just the previous verses to this, just making sure to confront false teachings and explaining the truth to the church at Ephesus. So if he's obedient to his calling, he will be a faithful servant, a worthy servant. And that's what this whole passage really is about, how to be a worthy servant. And then he says, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teachings you have followed. So to be a worthy servant, you need to be obedient, but you also need to be fed yourself. So obedient and fed. Remember those words. Verse 7. "Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly." And now Paul's going to quote some saying. We don't know if it's from the church or from popular culture. But the saying he's quoting here is now, "Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it." So he starts off in verse 7 saying, don't waste time over in godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Saying, Timothy, focus on what's important. Don't get distracted. Focus. And then this quote that he says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. If I train my body, if I eat well, if I exercise, if I go to the gym, this is beneficial for me. I will feel healthier. I will probably be able to think a little clearer. I'll be able to do more. Absolutely, this is beneficial. But what Paul's saying is that our lives are very short. So all this work that we do, if we put all this time and effort into training our bodies, yes, it's beneficial, but the benefits are very limited. However, if you train to be godly, this has a benefit right now, just like physical exercise does. You will have a life that is more full. You will have more hope. You will accomplish much more things that are worthwhile, and you will affect those around you. So if you train for godliness, it's a benefit right now for you. And it's a benefit to those around you too, because if you're training to be godly, if you are growing in godliness, you are going to be changing the people around you too as you interact with them. But not only is it a benefit right now, But it has a benefit for eternity. It will benefit you as you grow in your relationship with Christ. This will benefit you for eternity. And not only that, but the people around you that you touch through being godly, you will benefit them for eternity. And so absolutely, training, physical training has some value, but training for godliness has eternal value. It's a trustworthy saying. Verse 10, Paul speaking, "This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers." Paul is focused on what's important. As he said, focusing on this relationship you have with Christ, absolutely important. Focusing on fulfilling in obedience your calling, this is important. And he works hard, he puts effort as he focuses on eternity and he focuses on being obedient. Now, I want to point out, this verse can be controversial. If you read it quickly, you think, when it says, "the living God who's the Savior of all people," is that saying that everyone's going to be saved? That's not what Paul's saying here. If you read the rest of Scripture, there are lots and lots of verses that this is clearly not the case. What Paul's saying here is that Christ did die for all people, and that his offer for the forgiveness of sins is for all people. It's for every person throughout history. However, it's only those who accept this gift who will truly experience salvation. Gary L. Schultz Jr. says that salvation is sufficient for all, but efficient only for those who believe. Salvation is sufficient for all, but efficient for only those who believe. But I don't want to get stopped on this point because this really isn't what this passage is about. I just wanted to clarify that. This passage is about Paul encouraging Timothy to be a faithful servant. He's saying, "I want you to be someone who stands the test of time, who knows right and wrong, who has a strong relationship with Christ, and who can clearly denote what is truth and what is a lie." And then it ends with, "Teach these things and insist everyone learn them." Again, it ends with, "Timothy, make sure you're obedient to your calling." So to summarize this passage, I would say how to be a faithful servant is to get off, with an extra F, the couch. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's talking about being obedient. A faithful servant is obedient to his calling. A faithful servant is fed on the word of God. A faithful servant is focused on his task and focused on the Lord and focused on growing. And a faithful servant is formed, being formed continually, growing in godliness. So obedient, fed, focused, and formed. What you'll notice about all of these things, everything that was mentioned in this passage, is that all of these things take effort on our part. Paul is calling Timothy to effort, to put effort into growing as a Christian and standing strong in his faith. Gloria Pitzer is quoted as saying about the only thing that comes without effort is old age. Being a worthy servant of Christ Jesus will not happen without effort on our part. Tim Chalice, in a blog post about how you become godly, wrote this: "The great goal of the Christian life is to be conformed to the image of Christ. So noble a goal can only be achieved with great effort and lifelong commitment. For we are sinful people, only recently liberated from our captivity to the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Christian life is not a leisurely stroll, but a purposeful journey. Jesus tells us we must strive to enter through the narrow door, knowing that the Christian life permits no complacency, that salvation must be worked out, not waited out. The Christian is not a passive spectator in sanctification, but an active participant. Again, if you want to grow in godliness, if you want to become more like Christ, if you want to be a faithful servant, you need to put effort into your growth, into your relationship with Christ, into your Christian walk. But I want to be clear about something. Where's the line between effort on our part and dependence on God? I have two quotes here. One is, let go and let God, something I've heard before. There's a lot of truth in this statement, but by itself, it's not the complete picture. There's another quote I've heard before, God helps those who help themselves. There's some truth in that, but again, if you took that by itself, it would be very misleading. So both of these have some truth in them, but they're not the complete picture if you took them just by that. So I want to look at this for a little bit. The difference between effort and dependence. Our effort, our dependence on God. So let's start with some verses about effort. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, this is Paul speaking, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. I discipline my body. That is Paul saying, I'm putting effort into this. 2 Peter 1:10 says, so dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. And again, this is similar to what we're seeing in the verses we've been looking at in 1 Timothy. Do these things so that you will never fall away, that you will be a faithful servant who finishes well. But he says, work hard to prove. In Luke 13:23-24, someone asked Jesus, Lord, will only a few be saved? Jesus replied, work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom. For many will try to enter, but will fail. Again, work hard. We are to be working hard. This is clear. In Philippians 2:12, it says, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. So it's pretty clear that we are commanded to work hard when it comes to our Christian life. Work hard. But then there's these verses. Dependence. Zechariah 4:6, and a little context, this is the angel of the Lord speaking to Zechariah with the message to Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel was the leader of Israel. They were in captivity and they were about to try and rebuild Jerusalem, and he had quite the task ahead of him. And this is the message that God gives him. This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force, nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. How is he going to accomplish this task? It's not going to be by his Zerubbabel's force or strength. It's going to be by the Lord's strength. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, so all of us who have had that veil removed, so those of us who have had the veil over our eyes removed, we can see the truth for what it is. We can see God for who he is. Those of us who have that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Say that again. The Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So the Lord is doing this work in this verse. And then in Philippians 2:13, which is the verse after the Philippians verse we read in the other section, it says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." Who's doing the work? God is doing the work. So we have these two kind of opposite sides. There's verses about both of them. And when we see that, typically the answer is somewhere in the middle. And of course, there are verses that show that it's both. We need to put effort into it, but we need to be fully focused on and relying on the Lord, because it's the Lord who does the work. In Proverbs 21:31, it says, "The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord." So my part is I need to get the horse saddled up, I need to get on my armor, I need to get my sword, and I need to head into battle. But it's the Lord who's going to provide the victory. And in Colossians 1:29, it says, Paul again speaking, "That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me." So he is working and struggling, but while he's doing this, he's depending on Christ's mighty power that works within him. So it's both effort and dependence. So if you want to be a faithful servant who stands the test of time, who can stand up to false teachings, you need to put effort into growing. You need to put effort into obedience, and effort into being formed, into being fed. But you need to be fully focused on and relying on God as you take these steps of faith. Jerry Bridges, in his book, The Practice of Godliness, says this: "The practice of godliness is an exercise or discipline that focuses upon God." So he says, exercise or discipline, these are actions, these are efforts that we do. But these efforts are always focused on God. From this Godward attitude arises the character and conduct that we usually think of as godliness. So often we try to develop Christian character and conduct without taking the time to develop God-centered devotion, complete and utter devotion to God. We try to please God without taking the time to walk with him and develop a relationship with him. And this is impossible to do. Just like this morning, Peter Accetti was talking about how we need to abide in Christ. We need to be plugged into the vine and receive our nourishment from him so that we can produce fruit. To end, I'm going to put up so 8 steps that, again, Tim Challis puts in his blog, 8 rules for growing in godliness. How do we grow in godliness? How do we practically take steps so that we become more and more faithful servants? We become stronger and stronger in our faith, and we have more and more fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Well, here are some 8 practical things you can do. And these are not secrets. These are not anything that you can't just find. They're just really practical steps that you can take that will help you grow in your relationship with Christ. And I just want to talk about the first one, and the rest I'll just leave up there for you to look at, and then we'll be done. But the first one says, trust the means of grace. Trust the means of grace that God has provided. God has provided means for his grace to be poured out on us and for us to be changed. And these are ordinary, everyday Christian teachings about how to grow. And that's be in God's word, spend time in prayer, and hang around with other Christians. Purposely hang around with other Christians. These are just the everyday means that God uses to change people. So this is the first step. There's seven others in there that are just good practical steps to help you keep focused. But again, this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you want to grow, if you want to be a faithful servant, get off the couch, be obedient to God's calling in your life, be fed on God's word, abide in Christ, be focused on eternity and the need for personal growth, and be formed, be putting effort into being trained in godliness. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I want to be a faithful servant. Many here, hopefully everyone here, Lord, wants to be a faithful servant. Would you help us to balance these things, Lord? We want to obey you and put effort into this, but we don't want to do this in our own strength. We want to be relying on you. Help us to do that, Lord. We need you. We need you every minute and every hour. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his work on the cross. Thank you for this church. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.